So Alexis and I have been like, you know, continuing to watch movies that she hasn't seen and like just to be like, all right, and then this is another aspect of like cinema and film that like you can get into and like, oh, like this is a thing that like movies can do, uh-huh. you know, or like this is just a good movie you need to see, right? Mm-hmm. But the other day, and it's usually me picking the movies, right? Unless she's like heard of a thing or knows of a thing she wants to watch. And so it's always this process of like, okay, well, what kind of movie do you want to watch? Like, what's your vibe? Like, what kind of things are you wanting out of this movie? Mm-hmm. And so this time she told me she wanted something suspenseful. And I was just like, interesting, okay. And like, unfortunately, sometimes I misjudge movies or misremember a movie that mm-hmm. I haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, suspenseful. I was like, you know what? I was like, Enter the Void was a really cool movie. Like, that movie, I remember being suspenseful as
fuck. Enter the Void or Into the Void?
Enter the Void.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's a different movie. You're talking about the one where the guy dies, sort of? Or
yeah.
Has a, okay. I thought that was Enter the Void.
No, it's Enter. Oh. But,
Enter the Void.
Yeah.
Hang on, okay.
Or maybe it is, yeah.
Enter the Dragon, Into the Void, Enter the Void.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's the one where the guy's like in Tokyo or something.
Yeah, it's a dude in Tokyo and he's like gotten into selling drugs. And
that's what came to your mind when you saw it suspenseful?
Well, here's the thing. I misremembered the movie.
What did you think it was?
I mean, it was like, because like I haven't watched this since I was like 19, right? Yeah. But I remember watching it a bunch and thinking it was a really cool movie, even though it was like fucked up and intense.
Yeah.
I just remember like the music and the camera stylings that like, I thought it would be a fun, different type of suspenseful. Yeah, like, yeah. Not just like a suspense thriller movie, but like maybe emotionally suspenseful.
It is
right?
Yeah, I mean, it is emotionally it suspenseful. Is that, it's just not it, what I would think of when I when but, someone.
But it crosses the line from like suspenseful to stressful is right. what it does really fast.
Yeah.
And so I misjudged on this one. You yeah. know, I didn't remember half the movie. I didn't remember half, like there's so much like really well done, like incestual vibes and tensions in that movie. Like it makes yeah. you want to suck on a nipple so bad. This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old androgynous vagina person. And we're the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. If you want to get in contact with us or follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Patreon under Gender Fluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all.
Yeah, well, can I just say, I actually have only seen the first maybe half of the movie once when I was like 23 and I was very high and it was late at night. And I remember being like, wow, I need to, you know, finish this movie sometime, but I just never have. So
yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies that like, spoilers. It's 2.5 hours and yeah. it fucks with you. It fucks with me. Like watching, it's just like, oh my God, like this is an intense sensory experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, I misjudged the movie, but there is one scene where you get to see, you see an abortion happen, but like not in some cutesy cutaway. It's just like a girl with her legs like spread open, like the speculum's yeah. in, and you see like a rummaging around, a thing comes out, and some more rummaging around, yeah, right?
Like, rooting around. That's like how I jokingly, yeah. you know, like playing a game of Operation.
I mean, they're literally doing that, right? Yeah. And like one.
Which is not how all abortions are, by the way.
No.
A lot of times people are taking pills now.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought. I was like, I didn't think that this is what we did the time.
Well, in the older days, I mean, before that movie was made, and or if it's a later stage abortion. But
yeah, which it is.
Yeah, once you're past, I don't know how many weeks, but more than 10, 11, 12, this could be even, you know.
Yeah, and so as I'm watching this, like already there's been a lot of incesty stuff going on with like that dude's, the main character's sister. Like kissing his neck and ear and like kind of being like, you want to fuck me, don't you? And right, and then he's, you know, dead and traveling through all the points in his life. And so you see his mom and like he remembers like sucking on her titty, then looks at his sister's titty as she's working in like a strip joint, right? And like there's a lot of weird incest vibes and you're like, damn, this is actually kind of hot in a dark, fucked up way. But then it cut. Then so after all that, then you get this abortion scene. You're like, wow, this is really taking like a dark turn to the kind of chill incest vibe.
It's almost like they're doing a Clockwork Orange to you about your incest. You know, they're like, oh, you turn on my incest abortion.
And like, but then there's this shot afterwards, like, you know, the movie is a lot of long camera shots moving around, looking through the room as if you're like, you know, this floating disembodied, like you in the afterlife.
They should make this into a VR game.
They should. It would be fucking tight.
You could easily kind of adapt that to that, really. Yeah.
But so it goes through the room that the abortion was in, and then it comes and it slowly like flips over to where you're directly above like a kidney bean like shaped tin that has like the fetus in it, and it's like, you know, a little baby developed like fetus. No, I mean, you can kind of like see it. It's like, I don't know what term the stage of like the pregnancy
is. But it's like the outline of a little baby. It's
It's like got a giant head, like, you know, tiny little body, right?
Yeah.
But it's like the movie's like, oh, I know you're really stressed out, but how about I start on this fetus and I slowly spiral and zoom in on its fucking head, and then I'm gonna come back out and do that again, zoom back out. Oh, and guess what, we're gonna go back in again. You're gonna stare at this fetus for like a minute and a half as the camera slowly spins around, right? And like after the movie was over, Alexis and I were just like, fuck dude, like that was fucked.
Makes you
deal I know, she was like, she was like, wow, yeah, definitely not the kind of suspenseful I had in mind. Like, we were laughing at by the end of it. We were just like, things were happening. We're just like, Jesus Christ, this movie just fucking won't stop.
Yeah.
Right? And
is it streaming on anything right now?
I'm sure. Yeah. But like, then we started talking about, like, I was like, you know, making a joke about the fetus scene where it's like, hey, how about I fucking slowly zoom in on this fetus head until we enter the fetus's head, man, right? Mm-hmm. And she's just like, please stop. Stop talking about that. And so I stopped talking, but then my head's fucked up, right? So I keep riffing inside my own head, which makes myself laugh. Like, I start chuckling. She's like, what are you laughing at now? I was like, I can't tell you. You told me to stop talking about it. She was like, fine. I was like, well, now I'm just imagining like a big, like one of those big square butcher knives, just like chopping up like a bunch of different baby fetuses. Like, you just got a big 55 gallon barrel full of like baby fetuses. You just like scoop out with like a big scooper you use to get bulk nuts and things. And so you just got this barrel of like baby fetuses. You're just chopping up like chopped liver.
Yeah.
And then you can fry baby fetuses.
Right, and Enter the Void 2.
Yeah.
Now that we're inoculated to this level, we need more. I mean...
But it, doesn't that seem like there would be a thing, like a fried baby fetus?
What do we do? Yeah, totally. And in a kind of...
Can't you eat them?
Apocalyptic version of... Yeah, I mean, I assume you could eat them. Well, and that's what, you know, our, remember, like, if veal, young cows taste good, why not... The fetuses have to taste the best, right?
So no bones, so you're just squishing right.
Yeah, the
it.
Younger you are, the tenderer the meat. So, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the like, what is it? You know, made of like the is it mostly it kind just, of yeah? What are we? Do we have good meat and fat at all by the time?
No, I think it's probably just like a fun gooey mass.
Is it kind of marrowy? You know what I mean? But is it like a dense source of nutrition, or is it kind of
That's why
empty
I thought,
calories. You know,
I don't think it would be a dense source of nutrition yet.
Not a superfood.
No, I think this is more of like a fun state fair item, like deep fried baby fetus.
Yeah,
because like. I think the goo of it would be good with like a nice crisp like fried chicken outer shell.
Once we have a sense of humor as a species, and we're also like in a really like different kind of version of the world where it's kind of post-apocalyptic. You know, we just don't have the world is not green anymore, and it's not growing stuff. And whatever, we really do have to get just calories from where we can and whatnot. Then. To the extent that in that world we still have deep fryers and
the only
state fairs and stuff
working is the air fryer.
Yeah, we have cheap sources of like grains like that, but yeah, then to get just meat and to get protein and whatnot, we gotta.
I mean, I think somewhere there's got to be an island where you can have a baby fetus now. Like, someone's got a pedophile island that's like specializes in like fucked up shit.
It's like
right?
The evil women, instead of fucking children, are eating fetuses.
Yeah, I can get on that. That's metal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do it, but like, I support you doing it.
That's one of those, like, take it's a real a atheist liberal and be like, and set it up. So morally there in their world, there really wouldn't be anything wrong with eating, but like, can you eat? It's like trying to get someone to sell their soul on paper, even though, you know, obviously they don't, you know, believe in that, whatever. But a lot of times people really have a hard time just selling their soul. Like, go eat a baby fetus.
I mean, I don't want to eat the baby fetus, but I will open the restaurant that'll serve it to you.
Yeah, if anyone's willing to eat these, I'll make, no.
Like a baby fetus pate. You do like a nice pate.
That's probably what it'd be best served.
A wine pairing,
honestly.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Some nice crackers.
Yeah, exactly. So
can you make bone marrow-y crackers? Like, could you crisp up a bone marrow into a cracker form?
Well, now they have all the little sciencey tools to aerate things and make things. And I mean, probably you could do it. And if nothing else, kind of infuse it into crackers. You could easily
like, you get like a partial birth abortion bone marrow cracker with the baby fetus pate. That's an episode of Chef's Table.
Exactly. Well, the secret, the ingredient, Iron Chef is really my reference. I don't even know what Chopped, whatever's on TV right now. But where the secret ingredient is baby fetuses. Or one of the five in the case of Chopped, I guess.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Well, placenta, period blood, breast milk, fetuses. Those are your
people already consume three of those four things.
Right.
Placenta, period blood, and breast milk. So why is there a big deal with the fetus?
Again, once we're in the world where we, you know, no longer are able to just have all these cows and chickens running around everywhere, and we still want meat, and we're like, well, you look, people are having abortions, obviously, most of the time. Most people don't want to bring children into this world, you know.
Yeah.
2032.
But they are doing their civic duty by keeping the pregnancy long enough to abort it and
exactly.
give us something to eat.
We figure out, like, the exact... the most efficient timeline for that, where she doesn't have to eat that much more to kind of fatten the kid up just as much as it's most efficient, and then we have her take the pill or whatever. Maybe we have to extract it, I don't know, but it'd be more efficient if she could take a pill and then just, I don't know if you shit it out or it comes out your vagina, you know, it comes out your vagina like a miscarriage, right? Because basically it induces miscarriage, so you just, you know, put your diva cup in, collect that.
Your extra large diva cup.
Extra large diva cup. And maybe, I don't know what, you know, it could be like 10 weeks or something like that. And
I just love the idea of like somebody running around the house being like, money. Fuck, where is what happened to my large abortion diva cup? Have you seen where I put it?
Dude, yeah, they pay us.
I swear to God, I put it in that shelf.
They pay us $200 for these things. I can't afford to miss this one. Yeah, you can, you know, get pregnant. I mean, then people would just be getting pregnant as well. Again, this isn't a dystopia where, yeah, you're just getting pregnant because you're like, well, this is a decent way to make some money.
I would do, if I could get pregnant, I would do that today.
For $200, you would be pregnant for 11 weeks?
I've got a breeding fetish and like...
Wait, also, again, I
could get over I think I could get past the trauma of perpetual abortions or repeated abortions, especially if there's like this business money thing going on. It like I'm making money. There's an incentive. I know I'm not actually trying to get pregnant.
It does make you feel physically pretty bad for at least a little bit.
Yeah, there's going to be like a delay, but like $200, like, yeah, man, I would love to have someone breed me and then just like abort that baby. You know, that's a decent stack of records
Well,
right
and I mean,
there.
Like, we, you know, have learned again, and I don't know if this is the same for everyone or if, you know, the girl just got lucky, but like 6 to 7 week abortion, because I didn't realize when I was telling the jokes about that, you know, and her perfect boobs coming in.
That's a real thing.
I knew it was a real thing, but what I didn't realize is like, it's not just that once you, if you have the baby like will chew up the nipples and stuff with all that suckling and things like that, and then they are getting saggy because they've been too big, whatever. Like it's because if you know the girl had kept her pregnancy longer, her boobs would have gotten even bigger, I think. But then, yeah, I mean they would have because they would have been all filled with milk and blah blah blah. And then I assume like once, but so that's the thing. It's like most of the time when women get pregnant, and then if they keep the baby, then as they breastfeed and whatnot, or as you know, then their boobs actually go back to being just as small as before. So it's only because she had the abortion that she got to keep those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you're in this perfect, like,
That's just an ad of $200 and so a boob saying. Job.
You get a yeah. boob job and you make whatever the going rate for fetus meat is.
And I get to have the satisfaction of knowing I've put in, like, you know, a good day's work helping feed people and fuel their weird culinary adventures.
And the reality will be, it'll probably be just like, how long can you go? Like, we have a minimum of like a 6-week one where you get any, you know, nutrition at all. But then you'll get paid more the more weeks that you can go. And then they'll probably will really be partial birth abortions and stuff like that, because legally we'll have it where you can abort right until the moment of parturition, and so then people will just be like waiting for to get the fattest.
Those are the most expensive ones.
Yeah, because if you can get one where it's like almost born, if you can get one,
because then it's got a brain, so you can be like, "Ooh, have you had baby brain?"
Oh, they got a brain at like
baby brain's so good.
They definitely have they have like a 3-ounce brain at 20 weeks. So I'm not sure exactly when, but
yeah,
you know,
but 3 ounces isn't that.
Three
much.
Ounces a serving. What are you talking? That's
like one person. I'm just saying,
yeah,
like,
one serving.
I think with brain, I would rather it be a little bit more developed, though, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where we don't know what the perfect.
I want some time for that. I think the electricity running through it. You know, it's got tiny brain, but I think it needs
to
kind of
neurons
just,
to be kind of connecting things.
Yeah,
a little bit.
And like I think that like tenderizes it in some way. Right?
You want the woman to listen to Mozart.
Before I eat that baby brain.
Yeah, you want that to sink in. I mean, it's hard. We don't know because our scientists are cowards. We don't yet know where the perfect line is for when baby brain is the most delicious. But you know, maybe in a few hundred years.
Some people are like, look, I'll eat a lot of things, but baby butthole out of the question.
This American Life story where they had this whole investigation because a lot of people were saying that that calamari, like a lot of the time that you're getting calamari in America at this point, maybe around the world, I don't know, it's not really calamari, it's just cow buttholes.
Yeah.
And they had like a whole thing. And by the end of because it sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory, but by the end of it, you're going, it sounds pretty likely that they are using cow butthole sometimes.
Yeah. I'll eat a lot of buttholes.
Right. So it's like, yeah.
I'm all for that.
Baby buttholes in the future.
Yeah. You never had baby butthole calamari? Oh, so good.
Yeah. I mean, like, you just like the sauce you're dipping it in. You don't really like baby.
Cum.
Cum aioli.
That'd be so disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds really gross. But yeah, well, so we'll see what planet Earth is like. And if humans are still here in a few hundred years, it's like everyone wants to save the human race. But it's like, if we make it, it's going to be a fucked up world.
It's going to be so fucking wild. Oh, man.
See if Elon Musk will take us to the other planet.
He's like, yes, but the price is a baby butthole, actually. It's the price for a rocket ship.
Oh, okay. Well, here's a cute little story, but there's like the Cincinnati, what is it? Yeah, a longtime broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds. Did you hear this?
No.
He was suspended because it says he used an anti-gay slur on a hot mic during a game against the Kansas City Royals. And so he's suspended. He seemed like he had a really like pretty sincere apology, whatever. I don't even care about that part. It's just funny because it says, okay, Thomas Brenneman, a broadcaster and play-by-play announcer for Spikes News, used a slur while preparing to introduce the team's pregame show.
What slur did he use? Did he say faggot?
So that's what I'm like, I assume faggot. I mean, it's possible he could have said, what, like dyke or something? Like, what? I think it's faggot, right?
Or
faggot, yeah. But so, what is this like during his warm-up?
Unless
where he's
said
like,
weird derogatorily, I guess?
No, it's probably gotta be fag, but they don't seem to say, which is unfair, but it's like, so unless he was just warming up and that's part of his routine that he usually keeps to himself.
He's like, faggot, faggot, faggot.
Fetch a faggot for the faggot, friendly, or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever, like his little
faggot,
warm up.
Faggot, faggot, faggot.
But
it just hits all the right parts of my vocal box.
I can't announce without it.
He used a slur while preparing to introduce the team's pregame show. So what was the pregame show about? Like these faggots or something? Yeah. Like, was it like that? Like, I want to know the nature. This article just like, it goes on and on and on, and they just never tell you what he actually said or whatever. And I'm like, guys, you got to tell us the con. I want to hear, was it funny?
It said he used it while getting ready to announce on a hot, he didn't know his mic was on, and he was like getting ready to announce. And so like, he was talking shit about a team he probably didn't
like. Yeah, it's probably a rival team. That's what I'm thinking. He's going, faggot. You know what I mean? And his friends around or something. And like, I don't know. Do we need a world in which some friends who all do a sports show together, just talking shit about another team, can't, like, especially if they don't have hate in their heart? Well, it's kind of the way you and I would just jokingly say,
yeah, faggot. But I mean, I'm still on the, like, unless you're actually on team faggot, you don't get to say faggot. But at the same time, this is like one of those levels of offense where it's like, he didn't need to resign. Like, there's like a threshold of like,
suspended. I'm not sure whether they're going to actually make
him resign. There's like so much that is like, dude, like a well-worded three sentence apology. You can say faggot.
And I think he did a pretty good job apologizing. That's one where I'm like, I would like him to get to work again. I don't think we need to fire every single person who like gets caught saying faggot as a joke. Like, yeah, probably he shouldn't, but it's also, you know, he's older and like, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not a good thing, but it's not something he needs to be suspended.
It's good for that he apologizes. It's good that everyone says, hey guys, we don't do that anymore. Sorry, that wasn't professional.
Make him put on like, you know, a rainbow flag, say sorry.
Yeah.
Stick a dick in his mouth for a second and we're good.
Yeah, maybe we'll get to that point where you're just like, if you say faggot,
you gotta put a dick in your mouth.
You gotta put a dick in your mouth, and then unless you're a lesbian. So I think that we could easily, well, it's just like my thing about Louis C.K. It's like, well, okay, what if the path to redemption involves, you know, him having to publicly have a man jizz on his face? You know, maybe Dave Chappelle or something, you know, like, they're just like, let's brainstorm some ways where we go, you know, what would be, if you're talking about he like does something like disgusting or degrading or uses whatever, it's like, well, maybe we should just like literally teach people a lesson. And I feel like that's,
instead of public executions, it's just like public face jizzings
or
and
bukkake. Have a bunch of comics roast the fuck out of Louis and all of his sexual discuss. You know, men and women comics, just like the best comics, get out there and just tear him a new one about like what a fucking loser he is. You know what I mean? And then have a bunch of people, you know, jizz on his face or something. I don't know. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, there are ways to.
But then you run the risk of like, but what if they're into it?
I see, that's the thing with Louis. I thought about that.
If that's the case, like, because I would love to get bukkake.
Right. I thought about that. I think that Louis, as much as he enjoys the humiliation, I think that he's still got the old school, like, don't put fucking jizz on my face. I feel like that would really be upsetting to him. And so if what we're saying is like,
what if it's just you get shit on, like people literally just shit on you? Because there's even smaller of a group that's appealing to, right?
Right. It's
just
like, and it's not triggering in the same way. It's just real
instead of
disgust,
a jury of your peers, 25 of your closest colleagues or whatever,
or whichever of these women feels like most like she wants to shit on, because some people don't want to interact
publicly
shit on
him. And it's like, you know, an executioner thing, like he's just laying in a box and like the asses just come and stick through a curtain so you don't have to see the people's faces, and then they just shit all over him,
right?
And it's like an execution, public executioner hanging back in the day, you know, you show everybody.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because what we've heard is like a lot of these men who want sex workers to shit on them or talk about shitting on them or in their mouths or all this kind of stuff turn out to be ones who have committed like white collar crimes, or even if things aren't illegal, but that just really like they know that they're immorally fucking people out of money in order to enrich themselves. Those kinds of people seem to want like that kind of thing to be degraded to sort of pay for their sins. And I think that's like what this impulse that we're going on here, like instead of it being like, oh, let's have you enjoy it sexually, it's like, no, let's publicly shit on you. But again, then literally, what if they're into it because they...
But I'm just saying, that's such a small like, yeah. And it's a difference between like setting too, right? Yeah. You know, it's like if it's like, ooh, I want you to shit on me, versus like, hey, we're going to show the nation you naked with a bunch of people shitting on you. And
that's
like,
a good point. And Louis like, has to be naked in front of us.
Oh, yeah. But we're not shitting on them clothed. Like, we're shitting on your naked fucking body. Yeah. And, like, you... And this isn't like a, you know, ooh, I just have like one little nugget. This is like, no, we'll come up with like a great diet of just like, you know, whatever's going to make the most putrid shit come out of you. Then like give you like a little bit of like a laxative, right? So it's not just like a nugget coming out. You're going to get splattered. Right. You're going to get fucking covered.
People just want to talk about a path to redemption. And
these
I'm
bitches
just like,
are going
to
ice you like a fucking cake.
We don't have any good ideas right now. Right now, there's the legal ramifications are all pretty simple. It's like for various crimes, we can imprison you for various lengths of time. We can, you know, kill you. We can make you do community service. Like we don't have a lot of options there. And then publicly, what we're doing is like trying to get people fired or trying to just hurt their reputation or annoy them or... you know, cause them to lose business, whatever.
This
it's like
a good middle ground.
We also don't have a lot of great options there, and it's annoying. We have this whole cancel culture that everyone knows is like inadequate to the task and sometimes overreaches and blah blah blah. And it's because we're not getting creative about like, okay, if we're really talking about a path to redemption, we need to culturally have some ideas like about how you would repent, how you would be able to show people that you're penitent. And it's like, oh, I did something like sexually upsetting to this person, to someone else, to multiple people. I did some whatever. Like we need to find ways to make the punishments match the crime, and we don't really have those options with our legal system or this boring Twitter mob. So the Twitter mob can't do that. We need to have, you know, be like, okay, some moderation of. Or you know, maybe the Louis C.K.'s could do that themselves. Once you really wanted a path to redemption, could say come forward and be like, "Hey, I want my you know the people who feel victimized by me to get together and decide what kind of punishment they think would meet this, and then you know I'll do that." And you know, these chicks get together and be like, "Yeah, let's fucking shit on you." You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing that I think people
you can
might
keep
come
your
up
mouth
with.
Closed, but keep we do closed. Get to shit on you.
We get to shit on yeah.
What if they're like, no, you have to keep your mouth open. They get use those dental tools that like pulls
well,
your mouth
apart.
Here's
the thing. If they said that, then, you know, the man or whoever, you know, would have the opportunity to say, okay, no, it's not worth it to me. But so I'm not willing to do that. But also we could judge the women if we were like, dude, okay, he jerked off in front of you. You don't get to shit in his mouth. Let's be reasonable. You can shit.
I like to think that there would then be a new breed of lawyer that's just like, you know, like negotiates these things. Like, all right, you can shit on him, but not in his mouth.
Exactly.
And like then their lawyers come back.
Their lawyers moderate the whole, yeah, exactly. I mean, all this extra legal system that we set up still has lawyers.
I would be like, it's like, you have to watch me fuck your daughter.
And I mean, if like, the daughter is into it.
Like, yeah, but it's like the daughter would, but with the, this isn't like him in particular, but just somebody, right? It's just like, and she's like, yeah, my dad's a fucking asshole. You can rail me in front of him for sure. He would hate that.
Yeah.
Go team go. God,
that would be really, that would really, really determine from doing things, I think.
Yeah,
if we
do something.
To that level
and your daughter might spite fuck somebody in front of you.
Yeah. Do you want to have to watch your daughter fuck someone? Then don't treat women that way. Yeah. It's a good point.
Or your son.
That hits me viscerally.
You
like,
don't want to acknowledge the fact that your son's bi, even though he's mostly dated women, mm-hmm. but like you do something bad and like,
Jesus.
The son's like, yeah, I'm going to spite fuck somebody in front of you. You're going to have to come to terms with the fact that I love a dick
in the ass.
Yeah.
He's not going to watch his son top some dude. That would be fine. Mostly.
Yeah. But I'm going to, you have to watch me love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy. Yeah. I think that would deter some stuff.
And then I'm going to shit his jizz on your face. That would be fun.
What did this man do, by the way, that he deserves this?
I don't
know. What hypothetical situation are we in?
He sucked a 5-year-old's ball sack or something. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. If you're, well, I don't know. Yeah, are pedophiles affected the same way by watching their kids get fucked like that?
I don't know.
No, it would have to be pretty bad. But point being, we just, you know, there's creative ways to try to make the punishments meet the crimes. And yeah, that would be one to reserve for something really bad, yeah. I think, because watching your child get fucked, no matter what the gender fucking sex combo of any of it is, if you're watching your child get fucked, like, that's a lot. That's
you,
a lot.
Your eyes like clockwork oranged open.
Yeah. But, you know, it reminds me of the incredible Fiona Apple song on the latest album, called For Her, and it's like, you know, when it comes to the, like, I guess the denouement of the song, that where she's like, yeah, you don't know what you did. You raped me in the same bed your daughter was born in. And it's like, even when that's not true for people, literally, that thing of like, how can men, especially who have daughters, or, you know, treat women this way? And it's like, yeah, if you really do, I mean, that's, yeah, if you rape a woman, yeah, you probably should have to watch your daughter get fucked.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. At least. Because I think we should put a bullet in your head. Yeah. So, you know,
I think I was going to say, I think that, 2 episodes ago, you made your position very clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, some people are like, oh, about pedophilia. Like, oh, let's kill them all. And I'm like, yeah, sure, kill those people. But you should feel that way about all rape.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can feel the way extra about pedophilia if you want to. But if you don't want to put a bullet in the head of a rapist, then
something's weird there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's kill pedophiles. Let's kill all rapists if we're killing.
I think a lot of men are like secretly scared that's them.
Exactly. You don't, you know, you're like, it was that one time I might have kind of raped that girl. But she didn't like fight me as hard as you'd think if she. Yeah. I think that's it. Oh, exactly.
So I had a pretty profound little experience recently.
Uh-huh.
I like went on a date with this girl, this trans girl, who just moved to Austin at the beginning of the pandemic and like, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't really know anybody, right? But we matched on Tinder and talked for a while, and it's wild that I actually have had a conversation with anybody via messaging. So it's like, okay, well now let's get together. And so we had like a cute outside date, right? And like,
also, are you fucked outside?
No. I might cut this. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go, because it is kind of like some, and I don't know exactly how I'm going to talk about it, because I'm going to be pretty sensitive about it. Mm-hmm. It's about people's bodies. But so we ended up like going back to her place and like hooking up and having sex, and it was amazing. It was like a really great time. But for me, what was so wild about it was like, it's the first trans person I've ever hooked up with that's had bottom surgery. And so like I got to like touch and see and fuck, mm-hmm. like, you know, somebody's new vagina.
Yeah.
I think people call them like neo vaginas.
Some people do. I'm sure this is kind of like little people, where everyone has a different opinion about what they're calling their pussy.
She says sometimes she calls it her cyber pussy.
Yeah,
which I really like.
That's tight. Yeah.
But it was a really crazy experience for me, because at first, I had this moment where like I was making a joke to her while we were messaging. But it kind of implied she had a dick, because I just think of all trans girls as having dicks. Like most trans girls I know have dicks, right? And then like in a couple messages, she mentioned that she'd had bottom surgery, and I was like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit. Like, one, yay, go you. But two, like, then the reality clicked of like, oh, fuck. Like, we're definitely at the point in like chit-chatting where it's like, yeah, if/when we finally get together, we kind of want to hook up. Like, we're not looking for a romantic relationship, but she wants like platonic friendship with like some benefits, right?
Yeah.
And so I had to face the reality of like, oh man, like, do I have like the emotional strength to like fuck a new pussy?
What do you mean?
I mean, because I really want one.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if like what it's going to be like emotionally to stare the thing that you want.
Wouldn't
in the
you
want
to, I mean, to be crude, give it a test drive, but also like, it's like so wild to that we're at a point where in history where a trans woman with a dick can have PIV with a trans woman with a vagina. And don't you just want to be a part of the history of all this?
Yes, which is where I did end up.
You know? Inside her?
Yeah. Yeah. That's that part of history.
Uh-huh.
But like, I didn't know the answer to that first, right? Like, it didn't take me long, but it did take me like, you know, about like an hour of just like, I didn't want to just like be like, ooh, I know I can do that, right? Yeah. Well, I just wanted to, like, because we weren't, like, negotiating anything via text. I just spent an hour to, like, sit with myself and, like, I kind of wanted to, like, hold those feelings and be, like, explore them, right? And, like, put myself through different situations. Because it's, like, you know, I was, like, what if I'm, like, going down on her and it's, like, such a moving experience. I just, like, burst into tears.
Okay.
You know, like, that, I was afraid of crying and, like, not being able to, like, handle, like, being around her vagina. Cause it's,
how,
like,
long she had it, you know?
I don't know.
Because it's like, yeah, I mean, do you know, like, if she's already probably had people cry?
No, and that's the thing is, like, I'm trying not to talk about her too much because I don't really want to, like, you know, it's more, I'm more trying to talk about, like, my experience with it.
Right.
Because it's like, I don't know what she's comfortable with and, like, you know.
Right.
It's your new vagina, so, like, I'm not going to, like, you know.
Sure. You got to ask, like, how people want their new vaginas to be talked about on the Gender Flips.
Right? It's like,
that's part of the, like, can I use your name? Can I talk about your genitals? Like,
yeah, what are we doing? I didn't ask that before I left and before we started recording. So I'm just kind of, maybe I'll circle back to it in another episode.
You just text her.
Yeah.
Before you edit it.
Well, we are going to see each other again. Okay, so, like, I'll talk to her about it then. But, like, yeah, I thought I was going to fucking cry. I didn't know if I was, like, you know, because it's, like, in my head before this, there was such a weird idea of what this vagina is, right? The one that I kind of want, you know, it, which is, like, I have an idea of what it looks like and how it happens and what it feels like, but, like, it's kind of like the same feeling before starting transition. You hope you're going to end up in a good place, but you're aware of the reality that, like, things might not go so well, right?
Yeah.
Or that, like, the reality of what you're aiming for isn't, like, what's going to happen.
As with everything in life, by the
way. Right? Yeah, that's just life. And so I have that idea with, like, wanting bottom surgery where it's like, I know it's a thing I want, but, like, there's, and, like, I have a great time fantasizing about it and, like, what that life would be like and things like that. But at the same time, the reality of, like, what, it, like, maybe, like, it's not all it's copped up to be. Because it's, like, here's the thing. It's, like, the number of people that have bottom surgery that actually regret it is, like, super, super low. Mm-hmm. Everybody more or less is always like, yeah, I really fell in love with my new vagina. I'm like, but you can't say anything else after you've done it.
It, like, feels like the cognitive dissonance. How people get a tattoo and all of a sudden it's their favorite thing and they can't wait to get more and more tattoos. Yeah, we have a cognitive dissonance thing where we're going to convince ourselves of whatever. It's adaptive. Unless you are depressive, you're going to convince yourself you've made the right decision most of the time just because that's how our brains evolved to be.
Right.
So it is a strange philosophical question. If you've then convinced yourself it's what you want, then isn't it, you still truly don't regret it, right? I mean,
but, like,
you're usually not really lying.
Real me, you know, that's, like, part of, like, my, like, mind that, like, I don't let, like, run, like, my reality, right?
Yeah.
But real me knows and knows that, like, that's not most people. Like, most people don't actually regret it and, like, are using that to compensate and just saying it, right? I think most people genuinely do love it, right? But that part of my brain is still there, right? Yeah. And so that's been my whole conceptualization of, like, wanting bottom surgery in a weird way. And now I have this weird, like, opportunity to, like, stare the thing in the face.
But it's only
and, like,
for one thing, one version of it by one surgeon.
I know, but it's
the version that they're doing at the year she got it.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's still just a wild thing to be like, that's why I didn't know if I would cry or not, because if it's like, holy shit. I'm pretty sure I believe that it is as great as everyone says.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I'm there and seeing that it actually is and those worries kind of go away, the worries become smaller.
Yeah.
What am I going to feel?
Right.
What am I going to feel when, like, the doubt isn't as large?
Well, or you had to have the fear of, like, but what if it's like, what if it's not
terrible?
What I want at all?
Yeah. I also had that thought.
Yeah. And then you have to be like, fuck.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I do have a good relationship with my dick.
Yeah.
Like, I had to have that conversation too, where it was like, what if I get there and it's not like something I'm like, oh, wow, that's not a thing I could
Yeah, or I just like, we're going to wait a few more years on that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm happy and have like, you know, planned through my life like having a dick before, right? Yeah. And I'm comfortable with that, even though I do want bottom surgery. I'm kind of in the middle of
maybe
like
one day
both,
they'll be
right?
able to put a vagina up under your dick so you can keep both. Yeah.
That's really my dream.
See, that's
like,
what
can you not just make a hole in me? Yeah. I just want a hole that's not my asshole to get fucked
we
in.
We should all just have both genitals then, ideally. Like, if we get to that point, then like, how many that fucking quote amazing. Unquote cis people are going to just be like, well, yeah, I'm if I can get a dick or a pussy.
Yeah.
Who's not? Like, what if a loser wouldn't? If we all could just, because that's like with trans dudes, right? Can't they just sew it? They don't have to close up the vagina.
I don't
vagina,
know
right?
anything about the bottom surgery.
I think they have to close
dudes.
Up the vagina. So it's just kind of like,
that
dude,
would be the fucking best.
So then, yeah, why not? Like, if you, yeah, like, I don't want to, why do we have to use my dick to turn it inside out? Like, why don't we just,
can you not, yeah, can you not, like, just take a piece of, like, skin or intestine and, like, give me a new hole?
Yeah, whether it's from my body somewhere else.
Because here's what I want. I want you to cut my balls out.
Yeah.
And then use the, like, scrotal skin to make the, like, the lippy area.
It's already what they're doing, usually, but now you can, yeah. But you're saying, yeah, we could get rid of the balls, but some men are going to want to keep their balls, I guess.
I mean, yeah, but, like, that's lame.
Like, let's have a,
because they want babies.
Well, okay, so maybe we could keep one ball.
I mean, you could probably like
one ball, one lip.
I mean, all this would do would be democratize like sperm donors and like the, you know, drop the price for that, right? Because
so everyone just jerks, like, saves all their sperm.
Yeah, we save it up, like, you know.
Yeah.
Anywho, so
in a perfect world.
So so I had all this thought of like, what if it's not, and could I keep my dick? And then we get there and like, it was amazing. And it was like, oh fuck. Like, this seems pretty tight. This seems pretty fucking awesome without going into like too much detail because that's where I'm like, I don't really want to violate her privacy. But just like, suffice it to say, I got there and not only was I super, super happy about it, but like any nerves I felt was immediately kind of like overworn or like overdone or overshadowed or whatever by horniness and just being into it.
Yeah. Right.
Honestly, I don't know I think it feels better than a butthole. Like,
well, it's supposed to.
I know, but I'm just saying, I really like anal. Like, I really like fucking people in the ass. It feels great. It's got a very specific like tightness and warmth.
Yeah.
Versus like a vagina, like a non-neo vagina.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to differentiate between vaginas. A cis vagina.
I hate that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
All vaginas are cis anyway, even if you're not trans.
So like, an OG vagina versus a cyber pussy.
Yeah.
But like, cause I do like cyber pussy. That's cool.
Vagina 2.0.
It'd be a good band name. Cyber pussy.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt so good. It was just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, you know, okay, this is really nerdy, but there's like this dude named Alan Badu who's like a philosopher who I hate. He's really annoying, but he has this idea of this thing called the new. And the new is like anything that comes into being that fundamentally changes how everything around it was seen in relationship to it before. Like, it changes what the reality is in a way. So like an example of the new is like when irrational numbers were like invented, right? Mm-hmm. That was like a new thing that like changed how all of mathematics related to it, right? For me, this was like that, where it's just like, I don't have a set of experiences or words that accurately describe the feeling of it. It's like, it's its own type of like whole that that has like an entire like set of like feelings to it that are uniquely its own.
Yeah.
And I'm like fucking all about it.
Yeah. Well, plus, I mean, each one that you encounter is probably going to be somewhat different as well.
Like, and vaginas.
So yeah, like vaginas, like OG, but in like vaginas. Kind of also these like newer and new and remixing kind of ways. You know, there's just going to be some more variety with all that. So it's kind of a fascinating. You could become like a birder of trans vaginas.
or like a sommelier. I can be like, oh, Dr. So-and-so did this one.
You've already hooked up with like enough trans women. You'll continue to be like hooking up with more and more trans women for the rest of your life, right? So you should just start like documenting. How good are you sketching?
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, we need like the Lewis and Clark. You need like a little...
Can I take a picture? Like, this is going to sound weird. Your face isn't going to be in it, but I'm kind of a birder, but with cyber pussy. So like, can I just take a picture of yours?
You can, yeah, print out little guides eventually to the different varieties.
I'll make a book out of it.
You see the patterns and name the different species.
Found in more temperate zones in the United States.
Well, it's just like, yeah, it has to do with maybe, you know, you could even know which doctor is doing
it. Yeah, that's
which,
what I'm saying. Like, I can be like, oh, you can tell by the way the lip curls there that
exactly.
Dr. Really Smith did that one.
Expert in all this. I mean, I think you should, honestly.
That'd be a lot of fun. I might do that.
Yeah.
But it was a wild experience. It definitely didn't dissuade me from wanting bottom surgery. And it made me want it a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to be reassured by that immensely, like I always assume, you know, I wasn't sure if you had, no, we would have talked about it if you had, encountered one before, but like, it's like, of course you're going to wait until you've happens to hook up with at least one person with one of these.
I mean, before my plan was just to do it without having ever seen
it. It never occurred to you to be like,
no, it definitely occurred to me. I was like, I've always said that I wanted to like fuck somebody with like a new vagina, but like, I always thought it was just a joke because I thought it was such an impossibility.
What? No, more and more people are doing it.
I know more and more people are doing it, but it's still not super common, right? Yeah. And it's like, you know, then it's even less common that I have any interest in the person, and even less common that they're like single, and then even, you know, it's just like the chances of all those things lining up are pretty small in a lot of ways, right? And so it's just like,
can I say something you're gonna have to cut out?
Yeah. I love that. It's so hot.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, her personality
is weird.
They're
going to give me the nickname the Bird Watcher.
I know. it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see, whether you like her, because I'm curious. But
okay, I'll cut that.
Yeah, cut all that out. I always wondered if she listens to the podcast too, because there's a certain way like she kind of like interacts with me.
I think a lot of people listen and don't tell us.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get.
That's the vibe I get too about.
Because it's sometimes people just know some shit that I've only talked about on here. And I'm like,
yeah.
Are you listening to the podcast?
Uh-huh. But anyway. Okay. Well, on break. Hey, you know, I just wanted to also mention to our listeners that, you know, well, it's my birthday tomorrow or a few days ago, whatever in your time. And, we just also hit the 3-year anniversary of Gender Fluids.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not really a coincidence that those are close together. It's just that we decided to smoke the DMT on the first episode or in the middle of recording our first episode. And I wanted to have smoked DMT before that birthday. So we did it like a week before my birthday. And so here
August 13th.
August 13th, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Was when we recorded. I don't know when the first episode actually got released.
Right. Yeah.
But like, that's when we sat down to record it.
Right. So there you go. So anyway, as a birthday present for me and an anniversary present for Gender Fluids, please just either fucking rate the podcast on one of the apps, tell a friend about the podcast, write a review, support our Patreon.
Post about it on social media. Like, look what I'm listening to.
It's so nice when you share it on you know, Instagram or something. Little stories. And it, you know, you could tag us and not just Gender Fluids sometimes, or at least tag me, because you know Ava runs the Gender Fluids. So if you want me to see something, if you just tag at Ellen Genderless on there, then I get to see it too. So
please do that. We've never done a limp dick fetish.
Oh God.
It's really kind of up there with tickling for me.
Yeah, it's upsetting. Like, I'm trying not to judge people for being into those things, but it's like...
Mm. I mean, I think, like, dicks are cute when they're limp. Like, I think cute girl dick, like, is, like, cute.
Every
like,
but time
it's,
you
it's
say
like
girl dick, I imagine just, like, a little dick, but with, like, a little pink bow above it or something. That's what my brain's doing. I don't intend this.
I love that.
What am I supposed to imagine when I see girl dick? That, I just see a dick with a
imagine
pink
that
bow.
Imagine like the dick with the cute little like embarrassed like cheeks on it, like the anime cheeks, like the oh. Uh-huh. And that's what I imagine when I imagine girl dick, just okay. Like a cute little girl, even though some, you know, girls are fucking slaying and it's like damn girl dick. But like anywho. Mm-hmm. I like it part of like the whole, like the dick with everything, but like some people are just into like close up pictures of limp dicks, and that I don't like at all. Or like, you know, like I thought about like, you know, someone just trying to shove a limp dick into you. Like they just like the idea and feeling of like being penetrated by like a limp cock.
This
and like, you
like,
know, it just slipping on the outside, slipping on the hole, just trying to get in, but it can't quite make it. Then finally they like smush it in, right? And they kind of thrust them in it, but it doesn't really get hard.
This
and
is
so,
like that thing where people like being told they have a tiny little dick or something, where it's your fear. You've learned to enjoy your fear. And so if like the fear is this person can't get hard for me, then your way of dealing with that is, oh, I actually like it soft. I actually want, you know what I mean?
Now, I think
I'm not saying that's directly their thing. I'm just saying that's culturally like kind of where these fetishes come from, are playing off of those.
Interesting. See, yeah. I've always thought of it as like a sensation texture thing.
Ugh.
Like wanting to feel like a limpy dick, like just has a different feel to it. Like it's kind of sluggish. Right. Or I don't you know,
gross.
I mean, I've definitely felt it before. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not unpleasant, but it's not like
I
can see
that if you were into dicks, it just being kind of a neutral thing of like, that's cute. We're ha ha ha. We're playing with your dick.
Yeah. But there's some people like because I found a few blogs that are just like limp dick blogs.
I should go like make myself look at it just to try to desensitize myself. Ugh, God. Limp dicks are so gross.
Just a video of a dude just swinging his dick around,
oh,
and just being like limp and floppy.
Oh, God. I hate limp dicks. Like, I hate shit, dude. I just don't.
The only time I think I've ever really gotten off to like a video of a limp dick is when it's like been a dude or a lady, I guess, getting like fucked so hard in the ass that their limp dick like comes, like they're not hard, but like they have like an anal orgasm, but it starts like leaking cum. I think that's hot. I think it's hot when it's just like flopping around and dangling and like cum's just like leaking out of it.
Because
it's like so uncontrolled. It's like, oh, look at you in your like animal state. Just like, yeah.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. Yeah, in that one context.
That's the only good limp dick, though.
Yeah, but otherwise, yeah, it's just get it hard or put it away, you know?
I have had fun playing with my own limp dick, right? Like,
sure, just the way you'd play with those like slippery things that they had at the Rainforest Cafe or whatever that was at the mall.
Or like, it's also just, I don't know, it's fun and funny, like at least with like Alexis and I, like, we laugh a lot and joke a lot during sex. And so, but so like, there's just like a lot of times where like, like if I'm like riding her face and, or like face fucking her on top, like I'm with my thighs on either side of her head, like, you know, sometimes like I'll pull out. Right. But then I can just kind of like lay my dick on like her eye. Like it just flops down on her face and we both laugh. Cause it's silly how floppy it is.
Yeah. I don't like
it. I think limp dick can be cute in like a prop comic kind of way.
Right, exactly. But like what you're talking about isn't sexual. Y'all are having
it's
fun.
Not
it's funny.
A fetish.
Yeah. People who are
into it.
Into it.
Like
what
if you're just into like limp dick face slaps? Yeah.
Is that better than in hard dick face slaps?
I don't think so. I mean, I think like a hard dick face slap's like way hotter than
it's
like
funny
a,
though. Like, yeah, slap you with my limp
it's
dick.
It's like insulting.
I'm not turned on by you. I'm just slapping you. It's just Jake, you can't even get hard. Yeah. I could see all that appealing to a certain type of person.
Oh, fuck.
Some of us are the, you know, there's two types of people in the world. People who would want to get slapped by a hard dick or dildo, and people who want to get slapped by a limp one.
It's an interesting insult to people like limp dick. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Limp dick lover. Limp dick sucker. Limp cock sucker, yeah. But it's more better in a longer thing of just like, you like getting slapped by limp dick. What an interesting roast of someone. Or just like you're sucking a dick that doesn't get hard. Is people into that, you know?
I do. Okay, not gonna lie, I do like that. I do like, just because from dating trans girls, some trans girls just don't get hard. And like, it's a lot of fun to suck a limp dick.
Well, see, there you go. So you kind of got it.
But it's like, but I'm not into it because it's limp. Uh-huh. But it is fun to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make.
Yeah, just because it's just a dynamic that you can play with where you can kind of keep sucking on it like that and giving someone pleasure without it being.
It's
such
more
a
like
hole.
Eating someone out at that point. Yeah. It's less like sucky and more like tongue work.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so.
With some sucky turn tossed in. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Yep. Do we cover limp dicks?
I guess. I mean, it's a really uninteresting fetish.
There's some stuff going on there, but it just seems like, all right, you know, that's good because there's plenty of people who can't get it up and Viagra isn't really good for your heart. So this is good. Hopefully those people can get matched up. If you have erectile dysfunction, find someone with a limp fetish.
Yeah.
Instead of taking pills.
There isn't one to add.
Yeah.
Limp dick seeking.
Dude, I was gonna say, if you are the limp dick seeker and you can't find good limp dick, then like something's wrong with you, because there is plenty of limp dick out there that would love to get sucked, you know. Okay,
all right. Bye.
This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao. This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.